Hey guys, welcome back to the Thursday episode of the Drop-A-Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I'm here with my co-host, Frank Todd. Frank, how are you doing this fine Thursday night?
Well, you know, Daniel, pretty good. You know, I'm officially a college graduate. We got Thursday night football, we got some college basketball, and we have the NBA next week. I cannot complain.
I mean, first off, congratulations on graduating. That is a huge accomplishment.
Thank you, sir.
That's a huge accomplishment. Do you have any words about your college experience that you'd like to share?
It's exhausting. Classes are exhausting.
So Frank is a sports marketing and management major. And Frank, what are you wanting to do after your graduation?
So I'm working in corporate sales right away. My ultimate dream is to one day become an agent.
That's actually awesome. Do you know what sport you want to do?
MLB. I want to be an MLB agent.
That's going to be nice. I mean, once my MLB career comes off, I'm absolutely going to
Of course. Well, yeah. When you're a professional tennis player, I'll make my one-time exception for you.
Let's just hope I actually play tennis ever again. I it's not like I don't play tennis. I just don't play tennis actually competitively anymore. So, you know what?
It gets hard to play competitively once you get into college and you're not playing.
So if anybody who doesn't know, I played D3 tennis for about a year until I got bored of it and then ended up dropping off. But you know what? I could always start again. Who knows? We both of us actually played tennis growing up.
That is correct. You know, we'll get into that a little bit later. We got a lot to cover today. Let's jump right into some college football because, once again, these rankings are complete and utter horseshit.
The best part about you saying that, first off, is the American Athletic Conference, the AAC, their commissioner came out and said, let's go back to the BCS, the bowl championship series, because he does not trust the college football playoff anymore.
I agree that we shouldn't trust it, but we need to expand it before we're back to the BCS. Because clearly there's an issue here where Cincy has fallen more for not playing than Ford does for losing to a 3-win LSU team. There is an abundant issue here. And the fact that Iowa State is jumping all these teams when their two losses are to teams ranked below them. They've lost to a Louisiana team who's, quite honestly, who's ranked 19, who's okay, not great. And they lost to an Oklahoma State team who's ranked in the 20s. They should not be jumping if the teams they are losing to are falling.
It's the hardest thing to swallow that Indiana's only loss is to a close Ohio State team who, by the way, I believe deserves to be in the playoff. They have done nothing to prove to me that they shouldn't. And that is on Thursday night, right before they play Northwestern on Saturday at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time.
I think Ohio State's the best team in the country, by the way. They're damn good if they're healthy.
They're damn good. I don't think that Ohio State's the best team in the nation. I think Alabama's going to destroy them. I was looking at the stats on...
I usually agree with you, but I think that this Ohio State offense is churning an ability we haven't seen in Big Ten offense churning in a while. Fields, Olave, and Master T, man, they're just on fire right now, and they're going to come in very well rested because they haven't played as many games as everyone else, so they haven't taken as much of a beating. You there, Daniel?
Wait, what happened?
I lost you for a second.
All right, you know what? No big deal. We had a little technical difficulties here, but we are okay. We are ready to go.
But hey, we're amateurs. That happens. But yeah,
that happens.
I just think this Ohio State team is going to have a big advantage because their offense is playing good, and honestly, playing 6 games as opposed to playing 11 games is a big, big difference on the players' bodies.
While I believe it's a big difference on the players' bodies, it's also a big difference on experience because I was looking at it the other day, and Alabama has the best offense and the best defense in the ACC, which is
SEC, you mean?
SEC, yes. I'm sorry. They have the best defense in their conference, and they're absolutely ball out. And considering that the SEC is notable for having the best teams in the nation, they still, even after this week, have four teams in the top 10. And Alabama has played two of them, going to be three. And their only other team they haven't played in the top 10 is themselves. They're going to be playing all three, excuse me, of the top 10 teams in the nation, and they're going to absolutely destroy them all. I don't believe that Florida and Alabama is going to be close, because Alabama destroyed Texas A&M, and Texas A&M beat Florida, who just lost to LSU. I don't think Florida is going to be able to put up enough points, and I don't think the Florida defense is going to be able to stop Alabama. That's going to be an absolute blowout, even and especially since Alabama wants to make its case that they are going or that they are the top team in the nation. Ohio
I
State.
agree with that. I mean, I agree with that. I think Alabama's pretty locked in at one, unless, I mean, obviously they're not going to lose to Florida, and they're not going to bump Clemson or Notre Dame above them. The playoff is pretty much locked in, because I don't see Clemson blowing Notre Dame out enough to drop them out, and Ohio State's not losing to Northwestern. I don't see much happening this weekend. What really matters is who wins for what New Year's Six Bowl,
That
because
is
all
true.
that is up, majorly up in the air.
Because
A team like
I
the
could see two group of five teams. I could see potentially Coastal Carolina, who again was horrible in football once they joined the FBS from the FCS, and they were fantastic in the FCS. They had a little bit of a growing pain, but them being really solid, also Cincinnati, those two teams playing really, really well could both make a New Year's Six Bowl. And
I think Cincy is pretty much a lock unless they lose, if they win this weekend. Coastal Carolina is going to be a toss-up. So I think it's going to come down to only one of them or Indiana gets in. And I have a hard time seeing them putting Coastal Carolina in over Power 5 school just because of the viewing.
I have a hard time seeing them taking arguably the second best Big Ten team, especially if Ohio State blows out Northwestern.
But here's the thing is, we're the most of the teams in year six is we're the ones on the chopping block.
Yes.
USC is pretty much locked in. Well, I mean, barring a bad loss this weekend, they're pretty much locked in. Oklahoma's locked in, Georgia's locked in. Florida shouldn't be in one if they lose this weekend, but they're locked in. Iowa State's locked in, and A&M's locked in. That's already five spots.
That is, I mean, it all depends. I don't see if the issue becomes if, let's say that Notre Dame beats Clemson, right? And then let's say that Iowa State beats Oklahoma. Does Iowa State jump even with two losses to that number four spot?
No, Iowa State does not make the playoff in any shape or form.
Because even if Trevor Lawrence plays a great game, let's say they lose in overtime again, you have Notre Dame and Clemson with two overtime games, and those are notably two of the best teams in the nation. I don't see, I think it's hard. I think what the college what the what the college football playoff committee looks at is that they look for the best four teams and not the best four resumes. So even though someone might not have the best resume, they might have better extracurriculars or whatever, or better showing on the field. And even though those two teams, let's say that Clemson loses in overtime again, or maybe Notre Dame loses in overtime, then that becomes an issue whether they make the playoff or whether a team lost or both teams lost in overtime. If they
Usually, I agree with you, but I think there's a different ulterior motive this year. The NCAA needs money, and I think at this point, all they care about is what will bring us the most TV
And
revenue,
it so
and
happens
these
to be
four
that the
teams
big
will.
that the four biggest brands are going to be in the college football
Yeah,
playoff.
that's why the New Year's Six Bowl selections are going to be really interesting, because there's a couple people who are predicting a PlayStation Fiesta Bowl of USC Indiana. That's a not a high key matchup by any definition, because Indiana's not a football school, But there's enough power and there's enough following in Bloomington now this year because of what Tom Allen is doing there to make that a very big opportunity in TV
Well,
ratings.
exactly. Just because Indiana's not a football school every single year, because of its following this year, I believe I think I've looked and the Indiana football Twitter page has gained about 60,000 followers this year. And USC is one of the biggest college football brands in the world. Because again of
Yeah.
the history that we talked about before on this podcast.
We're not here. I'm sorry to interrupt you real quick. I just want to, before doing that, I'm going to have our research department go find us a couple sites predictions real quick, which means I'm going to Google that while you make your point right now.
Okay, I mean, simply speaking, you have the biggest brands in football. You have A&M, who is a absolutely massive football brand. Texas is a huge football state, and having the biggest school or the best school in Texas playing not maybe in the national championship game, but in a big priority bowl game is really important. And then same thing, you have with Florida, even though they lose to LSU, they're again one of the biggest brands. And the thing is, they're looking for the best stories, it's almost secondary, but they're still wanting the best brands. And you have all of those in. You have Coastal Carolina, you have Indiana, you have Oklahoma, again, a huge brand, a perennial brand. Iowa State, who's almost gone under the radar at six, they're almost the outlier in every single one of the rankings because Indiana is lower than, is higher than them in the AP and the coaches, but also lower than them in the football playoff. People are wondering why they're so good, and they're looking for a point to almost reduce them in the playoff rankings. So it'll be really interesting to see, I guess, what happens with all these teams because it's like the again, like you said, the playoff rankings are based off of who's going to make the most money, and you almost have to take that as a compliment for Indiana that they.
So I've been doing some research. So currently, a Bleacher Report article published earlier today actually has us being Indiana, playing USC in the Fiesta Bowl,
Okay.
with the other four New Year's Six Bowls being Iowa State, Florida, Georgia, Cincy, and A&M versus UNC.
Those are actually, it's really interesting that each of those is a big brand versus a big story.
I'd agree. UNC, and the thing is, if you look at the other teams, like let's look at specifically the USC versus Indiana and A&M versus North Carolina matches, those are big brands just in general. UNC and Indiana are two gigantic schools with passionate and diehard
But those are
fans all
basketball.
around.
Those are basketball programs that are transitioning to football.
I agree. But the thing is, I think those fans are just in general ride or die, and they are riding with the
They
football team right now.
they're both state schools that ride with their schools no matter what sport.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting weekend. And I mean, other than that, I think we've talked a lot about college football, and there's not a lot more to discuss, especially since we rehashed every matchup on our earlier episode this week. You want to do our sponsored segment and then cover some NFL?
Yes, absolutely. All right.
All right, let's get into it. All right, guys, just to give you a quick brief overview of what we're going to do for the rest of the episode, we're going to talk some NFL, do a little bit of college basketball, and jump into our first NBA segment of the season as we have that starting next week. So, Daniel, are you watching this Thursday night football game right now?
I am. Yes, it is a actually really good game.
Yeah, the Chargers are playing better and hanging around more than I thought they would,
The
honestly.
Chargers normally hang around and play well, but the issue is that their defense can't hang enough to win these games. They're always close. Like the Chargers are one of the best covering teams in the NFL, regardless of their 45-0 loss against the
That
Patriots,
was
against
bad.
your
That
against
was
the
bad.
Patriots.
The
They
thing
are
I like
normally.
the thing I like to say about the Chargers is they're the low budget Falcons. They blow as many leads as the Falcons. They just haven't done it on as big of a stage as the Falcons.
Exactly. They haven't gotten to the Super Bowl where they can lose and we can all be making fun of them yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But I personally believe that the Chargers are going to be really good, especially with Justin Herbert maturing, and they have a core fantastic group of guys with Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen and all of these guys who will be in the league for at least 4 or 5 years. And even though they are struggling right now, I believe they have a great group of coaches and they are going to eventually succeed here in the next few years.
I agree with that 100%. Now, Las Vegas loss tonight's kind of big because the Tennessee Titans have a clinching situation where Las Vegas and Miami and Cleveland either lose or, sorry, where Las Vegas loses or ties, Miami loses or ties, or Cleveland wins, or it's the same thing with a Cleveland loss based on strength of schedule. So a Las Vegas loss is huge for the Tennessee Titans.
That is true. I believe the Titans will end up making the playoffs regardless,
Oh no,
but
so I but since we talked about this last episode, literally about an hour later, Adam Schefter released some playoff clinching scenarios. So I figured we could talk about that because there's a lot of opportunities this weekend.
all I know is that in the AFC, the Patriots still have a shot.
They do, but they need a lot of help.
It's like the Raiders need to lose, the Patriots need to win out, the Dolphins need to lose. They
The
need a
Patriots are 2 back of the Dolphins, and they play the Dolphins this weekend. So that's a must win. If they lose that, they may not be mathematically out, but they're done.
but they're base but they
Yeah.
will need a basically miracle for that to happen.
So yeah, but looking at this, the Kansas City Chiefs can clinch the first round bye with a win, and then losses by Pittsburgh and Buffalo, which is really interesting because I didn't even think Buffalo is sneakily in there at 10-3. Who still has a shot at getting the first round bye, which is crazy.
It's nice that they have a first round bye, but they are playing Denver this weekend, and I believe the Denver defense has enough power and enough like our artillery. They have enough good players to stop this Buffalo offense, this high powered offense, from scoring a lot of points. I believe they have a shot.
I think they have a shot. But I don't. I think the problem is that with players like Stephon Diggs, this offense is going to get breaks. It's going to be big breaks, and the question is, can Drew Lock do enough against his weak Buffalo defense? Because his defense will hold Buffalo to under 20 points, is my guess. So the question is, can Lock do enough on offense to help the defense out?
It's basically, I think if Denver scores 30 points, they win this game.
I agree with that. I agree with that. The other thing I'm looking out for this weekend with a big clinching scenario is Minnesota, Chicago. A lot of teams, which are the Seahawks and the Rams, can clinch playoff spots. Sorry, in the Bucks, if there's a tie in that game. That is right. Three teams need a tie in that game in order to clinch a playoff spot, which
Really?
is absolutely hilarious.
I because
So the way it works
both
is
both
the
those teams have the
Rams.
same playoff, have the same record, right?
Yes, exactly. So according to Adam Schefter, the Rams get in with a win and a tie in that game. The Seahawks get in with a win and a tie in that game. And the Bucks get in with a win and a tie in that game. Sorry, the
The
Seahawks and the Rams are a win or a tie in that game. The Bucks need both.
Okay, interesting, because I can't, the Bucks are The Bucks at the beginning of the year were this huge Super Bowl favorite, and now they've almost gone invisible because they have a lot of great players, but they don't have the skill and experience, at least together, to put in a fantastic playoff run. I think it's impressive that they're in the contention right now. So it's
I
going to
mean,
be
yeah, they're going to be a threat in the playoffs, but they're
they're.
not
But
Super Bowl contenders.
they are a threat because of all of the great players that they have. So every single great player that they have, Antonio Brown, James Pierre-Paul, obviously Tom Brady,
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Jason Pierre-Paul, Tom Brady, Mike Evans, they have all of these star players, but they need them to all come together and work as a team. But the issue is, especially with that team, and you saw this with the Browns a little bit with Odell Beckham Jr., is that it's hard for all of these egos to come together and merge. And that's exactly what I see with the Browns, is that once Odell Beckham Jr. Left with his ACL tear this year, you see the Browns playing.
They've been better.
They've done a lot better, exactly. And that's why I'm saying, basically, the Buccaneers are the Browns, except they're the Browns of the AFC South, except they haven't had that injury to help, I guess, merge them. I don't know who the injury would be, because it's not Antonio Brown. It's not going to be Mike Evans. I don't know who it could be to merge them, but they need something or someone to come in and save them.
So I'll make 2 points on what you just said. The first one is, you know, Pierre Paul is one of my favorite stories in the NFL right now. I mean, that man accidentally blew off part of his hand with a firework, and he's still an NFL superstar in defense. That is ridiculous.
That's probably my favorite accident of all time.
Oh, yeah. And then my question off that is, if you're the Browns, do you get rid of Odell this offseason?
You do. You trade him. You have to.
I agree with that. I think it's the only move they can make. It's the question of who will take it.
My brother-in-law is a huge Browns fan, and I try to remind him all the time that the Browns aren't great. But the issue is that because they're playing so well, you have to put that on Stefanski, the coach. But again, Kevin Stefanski has a tough problem of simply trying to manage all of the talent that he has. And also, it's the same thing with Indiana. I know we mentioned Indiana a lot, but they're a great analogy for a lot of these NFL teams that aren't necessarily doing that well. You have that weight of history on your shoulders. It is so hard for the Browns to basically succeed simply because they are the Browns and they have that history, and they know deep down, like, it's hard with not only the weight of winning the Super Bowl on your shoulders, but also the weight of Cleveland and the weight of basically misery on your team's back.
I agree with that. I think the Browns are going to do something eventually. Stefanski needs time to get it together. All right, now, Daniel, I want you to give me your game to watch this weekend and why.
Ooh, that is very interesting. I would say my game to watch this weekend is Seattle versus the football team, the Washington football team. And I believe
it's a good pick.
And I believe that is my game to watch, because I firmly believe that the Washington football team is going to win that game by a lot. I believe their defense is so good that they'll be able to stop DK Metcalf. They will be able to stop Russell Wilson. They will be able to stop this high-powered offense who has been struggling these past few weeks, and be able, who struggled against a really poor Giants defense. Even though, yes, they have been playing that well, they should not be able to drop 12 points on that defense. And Washington's been playing really well. And it's all about – we talk about game – this is a big game manager podcast. If we talk about the Washington football team, the first thing that comes to mind is Alex Smith and his consistency with his team. And I believe that if he is consistent and they're playing this game at home, where the Seahawks have to – this is the Seahawks' fourth game flying to the East Coast this year, which is a lot for a team, especially in the COVID era. If they potentially might be a little bit sore, they might be a little bit off. If the Redskins can basically manage and control this game, I don't understand why they can't win.
Yeah, let's get back. Now, for mine, I don't want to do this boring traditional stuff where I'm going to go, oh, the Chiefs and the Saints play. We all know that's going to be a good game. We don't need
that's
to
not
express
a, that's not
that
a game to watch.
It.
While that's a great game, that's not an important game. Both teams are going to be the one or two seeds in their playoffs.
Exactly. The game I want to watch when I'm really, this is going to sound crazy, but you're going to have to give me time to explain it, is the 49ers versus the
That is a really
Cowboys.
good game.
Now, this is going to be a great game because this Niners team might be injury prone, but man, are they fun to watch. That defense is so young and so loaded with talent. It doesn't matter who gets hurt, they can show up and
It's a next
play.
man up
And then, of course,
mentality.
yeah, exactly. And of course, in the Cowboys, we got Zeke needing to step up and show he can still be an NFL running back because his regression has been insane. And you got the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, trying to prove he can still be on an NFL roster while competing for a playoff spot. This game has so many storylines that it's
Because the
crazy.
Cowboys are not
I
out of
mean,
a playoff spot yet.
yeah, exactly. And I mean, even on the 49ers, you're going to have a reasonable discussion that says we might need to cut Nick Mullins or Jimmy Garoppolo for cap space eventually. And if Mullins keeps playing decent, there's an argument that you cut Garoppolo and go with the cheaper
Or maybe
option
trade him.
because a healthy off. Yeah, you could trade him. I don't know how much value he has right now with his injuries. But again, with a healthy 49ers offense, with all the running backs healthy, with a perfectly healthy tight end in their receiving core, that team is
That
deadly.
is actually a really good game. I guess we will have to wait, and we will obviously report on these games on our Tuesday podcast. But we've really talked about most NFL games in our Tuesday episode, which you can watch, which is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you can watch a podcast. You should really look up the Drop a Deuce podcast. We're a great podcast.
All right, let's jump. You want to jump into some college basketball?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I mean, again, as we kind of talked about last week, and on Tuesday as well, we're kind of at a more slow, boring point of college basketball. The season's getting into swing, and as conference play starts up, we'll start to get a more exciting point. But tonight, I think that happened. Kansas and Texas Tech, what a game that
That was
was.
so basically what I remember from this game, and I watched most of it, was the was Kansas almost controlling the game up until about 5 minutes left when A&M made it when Tech made it close. But I think everybody always counts out Kansas this year because they lost to a really good they lost to a really, really good Gonzaga team by like 15 or so in early in the season. But Kansas is a team full of veterans, and they are full of talent. They can really shoot the ball. That's my one thought from this game.
They're also a really good defense team, by the way. They hold teams
They
low.
hold teams low. And they're experienced to be able to close out games. They closed out Creighton. They closed out Texas Tech. They're closing out. They closed out Kentucky, who again isn't a great team, but you have that power and the pressure from simply playing the team and a bunch of five-star freshmen. Whether you like it or not, you know that deep down they're skilled players. They've been able to close out three marquee games, and I think that shows a lot about their ability as a team and their progression going forward.
This game was great to watch because it never got out of hand. The biggest lead was Kansas 8 and then Texas Tech 7. This was never a game where someone blew out and someone had to come back. These were two solid, well-matched teams who went back and forth all game. And at the end of the day, it came down to who showed better composure in the last couple minutes. And that was this young Kansas team who I think is a real threat to win the title with the way they're
I wouldn't
playing.
say Kansas is a young team. They have a lot of really core players who stayed because of the COVID draft process.
I know, but these teams like Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, they always get like 19
They really
freshmen.
do.
She was just calling me young because
They
of
recruit
that.
really well. I mean, I think especially the top three classes this year were Duke. No, it was Kentucky, who's always perennial number one, Duke and North Carolina. And all three of those teams are a little bit struggling this year because they didn't have that summer practice schedule. And even though Kansas still has a lot of really talented freshmen, they again had players from last year and 2 years back. being able to perform and mesh as a group. Kansas is more of a group this year than they have been in the past, which is why I believe, even though they've lost a game this year, losing a game in basketball is not the end of the world. Losing a game in football, a different story. But in college basketball, it's all about how you play in conference play and about how you develop throughout the non-conference season. And we've seen that with a lot of teams. We've seen that with again, Richmond, a Richmond team who's very experienced and be able to mesh as a group and know who they are. We've seen that with Kansas. We've seen that with Gonzaga. People who have Gonzaga doesn't get that many five-star recruits, but they have been able to develop these players throughout their careers as a Bulldog. We see that with Illinois. We see that with Iowa. All these players are coming back, which means that they're going to be competitive. All these one-and-done schools are struggling this year because simply they are one-and-done schools. What are your thoughts about that?
No, I agree 100%. A team like Duke does not develop talent year over year. And once their players leave, they are dependent on the next group of class, freshman class, coming in and performing at a high level. And the problem is, like you said, with shorter practice times, they did not get that this year, and they have not been able to perform at the level they need to perform at. So we're seeing these teams perform at a lower level. Well, then you have someone like Iowa, who had everyone return and are now a big threat because their kids have played with each other for years, and that extra practice didn't matter to them because they already know each other's style.
They know each other's style. They're not playing on random AAU teams to simply get scouts. That is their team, and they can work on individual workouts and improve throughout the summer in their high school gyms or maybe in their backyard or in the parks. But the thing about college basketball is that if you commit to playing college basketball versus the G League, that is your team. That is going to be your individual team for the next year or more. We've seen that with Trace Jackson Davis and Christian Lander, people on the IU team who are going to play very, very well this year. And I believe that college basketball is trending towards more of a 2 to 3 year format compared to one and dones. We've seen Cade Cunningham absolutely balling out, number one prospect in the NCAA for Oklahoma State this year. And we see a little bit of those, but I think we're going to see a lot more sophomores being drafted in these next 3 years, because I believe in the NCAA basketball world, you see these 18-year-olds, and none of these 18-year-olds outside of the Goliath Zion Williamson and company who was at Duke, it's very rare to see those guys who are built for the NBA compared to a lot of times if you come out of high school, you don't get these kids who are muscular and are able to compete against these 30, 35 year olds who have had 10, 15 years of bulking up and of NBA practice. So you need to put muscle on these kids. And honestly, that takes time. I
agree. Now, I'll tell you what, Iowa and Gonzaga are playing each other on Saturday. I'm ecstatic to watch that game. It will be good fundamental basketball.
That might be the best basketball game.
Two very, very talented. It might.
Gonzaga is most likely going to end up winning that game, but I think Iowa can shoot, and we know Iowa can shoot. But I believe it is Gonzaga's big man presence that is going to win that game.
I agree, and so I'm looking at Gonzaga's schedule right now. And unless the Baylor game gets rescheduled, that is probably the only game that Gonzaga realistically has a shot at losing. They're going to dominate their conference schedule because they are so much better than everyone in it. And they play UVA at the end of on the Saturday the 26th. They're going to dominate UVA. They're just too good for them.
I don't think UVA is that great this year. I think they are a solid, maybe Sweet 16 around a 32 team, so that makes them either a 5 to an 8 seed, which is very respectful. If you're a 5 to an 8 seed, that means that you are a very competent basketball team, but maybe not being able to have the depth. I don't think UVA has the depth in order to win this game. I think they have a lot of really talented freshmen.
Yeah,
but I don't think they can really get to the Elite Eight or maybe give themselves a shot.
I don't think they have the talent to be Gonzaga right now. End of season
Obviously,
could be a different
yeah.
story, but we'll see what happens. So I think we covered good college basketball. I think it's time to do something a little new here. I think it's time for a little NBA
Oh, damn.
Preview.
Okay, let's go for it.
So as everyone probably either knows or doesn't know, the NBA starts next week on the 22nd and the 23rd, culminating with the big, always big and popular Christmas Day games. So, Daniel, we're going to do a nice and simple one today for the preview. Who is your title?
Who's my title? I think I'm going to do exactly what we did for college basketball and kind of give our top three.
Okay, I like it.
So,
that.
And how our top three works is that.
How about this? Can I adjust it? I want you to pick your top two and then one
sleeper. Yeah, that's what
sleeper.
We did for college basketball.
Okay, you know, I just want to specify sleeper because there's a couple of teams where I look at them and go, this team can make a run, but they're definitely not the favorites.
I think I am going to ixnay both of us saying the Lakers because while the.
I agree. I wasn't going to anyways.
It's too boring.
Too boring.
You can say LeBron James, ooh la la, congratulations. But I think we get rid of them. So we're going to talk about our top six outside of the absolute power, which is the Los Angeles Lakers. My first absolute contender is going to be the Clippers. And while I know Paul George doesn't necessarily play well in the playoffs, you still can't. You can't discount Kawhi Leonard and you can't discount the entire team that they've built around them. It's very, very solid basketball that they play, especially coming out of the Western Conference. If the Western Conference is so much better than the Eastern, it is simply just as long as you can win 40 games. And I know so they're in the Pacific Division and the Pacific Division has Lakers, Clippers, Suns, Kings, and Warriors. And the Kings and Warriors are basically there. While Steph Curry's back, the Warriors aren't what they used to be earlier this.
Well, Klay Thompson's
still
out.
Yeah,
out
so we
game.
Have. So I think that's going to be a little bit of an issue. I believe that because of their schedule, they should be able to end up being maybe the 3 or 4 seed in the West.
I'm going to give you two reasons they won't win right now, and we'll get your next team. The first reason, playoff P. You can't have your second best player be well known for not performing the playoffs. He has to step it up. And two, the Lakers. They're in the division with the Lakers, which already gives them a huge disadvantage, already makes it likely they won't be a team getting home court throughout, and that will cause them some trouble.
I mean, I think, secondly, I'm going to say I'm going to say the Heat. The Heat are my main pick in the East. I know you're probably gonna say the Bucks, but the Heat have Tyler Hero. They have Jimmy Butler. They have this again core group of guys who are able to practice together and are able to mesh as a team together. I think that's most important in basketball than any other sport. Maybe hockey, because hockey is really play as one sport, but so is basketball. You have all these guys playing so well together, and I feel like the thing about the Heat is that they trust each other. I think we will see, and especially coming out of the East, they're probably going to be the 2 seed or maybe 3, and I just firmly believe that they have a shot at getting to the finals again. And simply just playing good basketball.
I think the Heat are a good pick. I think the biggest question mark for the Heat is, can Hero and them take that next step and play at the finals? The problem is they were just outmatched by the Lakers because no one was performing for them.
It's like they were nervous.
And they were out of talent.
Like, I feel
they
like they were nervous.
Didn't have the talent, quite honestly. Yeah. All right, so what's your third team? I like your two picks so far. And by the way, I'm not picking the Bucks. That's, again, too boring.
I believe my third pick is going to be the Suns. So I.
Oh, Suns
Well,
out,
absolutely.
Dunzo, baby.
I was born in Phoenix. I have always been a huge Suns fan, and I'm letting.
Wait. Sorry to interrupt. This is more important.
I
You
was,
were born
yeah,
in
March
Phoenix?
19th. Ne
Dude, I was born in.
Hell yes,
I was born
baby.
in
Let's
Scottsdale.
go.
That's
Yeah, so
absolutely
I was born in
hilarious.
Phoenix, March 19th. Absolutely grew up a Suns fan. Even though I grew up in Vegas, I still was a passionate Suns fan. I didn't have a team to root for, so I knew I was from Phoenix. I knew that I grew up with Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, that entire core group. Oh my God, I loved it. But I think this is the Suns' year. The Suns, these next 2 years, are going to progress as a franchise so goddamn much. They have D-Book, they have Chris Paul, they have literally everyone that they need to at least build a franchise. I believe the addition of Chris Paul helps the Suns so much because you needed a veteran presence. The Suns have always been this young team. The Suns have been a young team for the last 10 years. The Suns had Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe. Then they had D-Book, Devin Booker. They've had all these young guys who have basically, again, been young. They have drafted young and traded them for more young guys, and they finally realize that you have these young guys, DeAndre Ayton, you have Cam Johnson, you have all of these talented players who need a player like Chris Paul, who's been in the league for 15 years, to simply help them out. And you can it's so hard in the NBA to be able to simply teach yourself. And the only player who's been able to do that was Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, like all the greats, and LeBron James. The Suns have that veteran presence they need to simply continue to be calm and understand what it's like to play against great teams like the Lakers and the Clippers, and maybe develop DeAndre Ayton into someone that he's not, and to develop into a confident player who can, again, be confident in those big scenarios. The Suns have been close every single game until the fourth quarter. They don't get blown out. They need to be able to finish games. And I believe this is the year that they'll be able to finish games and have that veteran presence to be able to win a playoff series or two. I believe if there are the 2 or 3 seed, or maybe even the 4, that they can potentially get to the Western Conference Finals and maybe beat the Lakers, or maybe beat the Clippers, or maybe beat the, I don't know who's going to be the 3 seed, maybe the Rockets or something. I believe that
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. I think
they
they're
are.
one or
They
two pieces short right now,
because
but they
in
could
the
get
well,
there.
I guess in the NBA, you
So,
need
all right.
3 superstars to win, and they only have Chris Paul and D Book, and you
Yeah.
need one more at least.
All right, so now I'm going to give you my picks, and I'm going to say my first one's going to be very short, very simple, and pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, obviously.
Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie, KD healthy coming back together. If these two can learn to finally not be the idiots who need to be the leaders and play together, they're going to win the title ease. That is a talented, talented team. They just need to learn to put their egos
I think
aside and play
my one
together.
criticism is that you have those superstars. Can they keep their egos aside and simply play basketball?
As long as they don't acquire James Harden, I think so. But man, if they acquire Harden, that
That
team's not winning, coming close to title. There's not enough basketball in the court for Harden, Kyrie, and
yeah, I
KD to
think
be on the same
that's why
team.
it's great to have 2 superstars versus 3, because 2 you can kind of dish out and everybody else is a role player, create room, and then
Well, you can have three as long as they
exactly
play
that's
separate styles of games. Like, you can have a LeBron and AD and someone else, but the problem is Harden, Kyrie, and KD all play way too similar style of a game. If they're going to have a third star, it has to be a big man. It has to be an AD type player, someone who will get the ball inside instead of
That's
playing the
why
same outside perimeter shooter.
the early 2010s Heat played so well, because you had Wade, who loves to pass the ball. You have LeBron, who likes to score, and you have Chris Bosh, who loves to play defense and absolutely the score the bucket when needed. He's the big. He basically Chris Bosh was the Dennis Rodman of that big three. He loved to play defense. He loved to get rebounds. He loved to do the dirty work. And I don't know if the Brooklyn Nets have that dirty work type of player to be able to get them those championships.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, now my second pick. I'm trying to stay East focused because I have a ballsy pick in the West. My second pick is going to be my Boston Celtics. That team is so good if they can just not shoot themselves in the foot like they always like to do. They don't have a big man. They don't need a big man. They play a small ball perfectly with Tatum, Brown, Kemba, Pritchard, and then my least favorite player to ever grace the NBA, Romeo Langford. They can play small ball with those three and compete at a very high level because whether people want to admit it or not, Tatum is in the conversation for one of the top talented players in the NBA. He is fantastic, and he's ready to take that next step and become a leader for this team. He's 22 years. He's either 21 or 22 years old. He's very young. He's on a supermax deal. He's a father, and he's ready to take that next step.
I guess my main criticism about that, I'm not going to do two. I'm going to go simply one, is I'm going to go the exact point you said. Small ball doesn't win championships. Small ball wins you games. Small ball doesn't – you need – the best players in the NBA are all 6'7" and can shoot and are entire court players. LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Breaking news that just came out. Coastal Carolina, Louisiana has been canceled due to COVID. That is – big for the New Year's Six Bulls, dude. Neither of those
Coastal
teams will
might,
get New Year's
but
Six
it's
going to
be very, very tough for them. They're going to need a loss. They will need Iowa State to win against Oklahoma to maybe drop Oklahoma out of the top 12.
Yeah. All right, sorry. I had to interrupt you for that breaking news. Cause
all right,
I just
and then
you know,
now your third team.
Now my third team, a little bit of a wild card here. The Mavericks. This team, I mean, again, same thing about the Celtics. They have one of the best young players in the NBA, and Luka Doncic, and everyone forgets they have.
But again,
stats
I think
on their
those
team
guys
too.
Are. More set up for the future, better than the Celtics. I would have chosen them over the Celtics any day of the week simply because they have those big presence. And when you have those 6'9", 6'10 bodies who can score at will, that becomes huge in clutch times because
I think the biggest two difference, though, is between these two teams – is going to be veteran leadership. Kemba Walker is a veteran who knows how to get it done and knows what to do. Who is the veteran leadership
on
the Mavericks? I think that's their biggest thing they're missing right now, being a deep
young.
Threat. Brea's not on the team anymore. Brea got released. And, I mean, other than that, the most tenured guy in the NBA on the team might be fucking – is it Tim Hardaway
the old
Jr.?
Michigan guy.
Like – yeah, exactly. That's what they're missing right now. Is they have a great team. They just don't have that veteran leadership. And also, I think Willie Cauley-Stein is still going to be a great NBA player. I still have hope.
I think, again, my issue with the Mavericks is, again, that the leadership. And while Luka and Kristaps can be able to perform in the regular season, I don't know if they are able to be playoff LeBron. Because you know that they will have to play him at some point. They'll have, I believe LeBron and AD are better than Luka and Kristaps day in and day out. And maybe they get lucky and win one game, but overall, I don't think they are as consistent as that big two.
But Here's the thing that's going to play a bigger role in the West than the East. It's
Yeah.
going to be what the playoff bracket is. In the East, you know who your top, you know your top five teams with ease. It's the Raptors. It's the, not in this order, obviously. It's the Raptors. It's the Nets. It's the Celtics. It's the
And then
Heat.
everything
It's the
else is just
Sixers. It's the
lucky.
Pacers. Sorry, actually, I forgot the Bucks. You have the Bucks, Nets, probably Heat, Celtics, Raptors, Sixers, Pacers in that order. There's your seven with one wild card team. In the West, it all comes down to the bracket. If the Lakers and the Clippers have to play each other in the second round, that's a
That's
series the
South
Clippers
Side.
could, the Lakers could lose. If the Bucks don't have to play, if the Bucks don't have to play them till, or sorry, not the Bucks, if the Mavericks don't have to play either one of them till the Western Conference Finals,
I
the Mavericks are
believe
going to the Western
that
Conference
the
Finals.
South Side of that bracket. So what's going to be 3-6 and 2-7. So that 2-7
Two
team
seven.
is that 2-7 matchup in the first round is going to be so important because if that 7 team. Potentially, that seven team could be the Suns, or that could be who that 7 team could maybe be the Warriors.
But
That
here's the
seven
thing is,
team that in that south side of the bracket, every single game is going to be important, no matter what.
yeah, and it's because of the fact that they're in the same division, you're almost certainly going to see a very early playoff matchup between the Clippers and a team like the Lakers, just because of the way the playoffs work with them
There could
being the
be
same
four
division. It's going to
teams
kind of
from
screen over.
the and the West Pacific to get in those playoffs. And if you think about that, that's crazy. I
Oh,
Suns,
easily.
Clippers,
Easily.
Warriors, Lakers could all make the playoffs this year, which is bonkers. Which is bonkers.
Absolutely insane. Well, that was our NBA preview. I think we've been rambling long enough. I think it's time we wrap it up, guys. Thank you for listening to us today. Yeah, Daniel, have any last words?
The football this week should be absolutely amazing. And we want to thank you guys for listening to the Thursday episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. Sorry it's a little bit shorter than it used to be, but we kind of covered a lot last week. So we will end up seeing you guys on Tuesday. And hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you then.
See you guys.